Live and direct from Pretoria Studios here in Tshwane at the Government Communication and Information System. This is a special broadcast which is brought to you by Government Communication and Information System along with the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. Tonight we are discussing departmental efforts in ensuring protection against violence and discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, expression, as well as sex characteristics. We're looking into educating our communities of Gauteng on human rights that are associated with the living of the LGBTQI plus communities, persons, organizations, and many more, and promoting the acceptance by all those communities that might find it a bit weird or a bit awkward or a bit uncomfortable to be living with other people. And also we're looking into creating public awareness through these various programs on the work of the LGBTQI National Task Team, and particularly the Provincial Task Team of Gauteng tonight. And we are educating communities about the National Intervention Strategy for the LGBTQI sector, for the LGBTQI society, looking into human rights, survivor-focused, and victim-centric approach in countering discrimination, hate crimes, gender-based violence, femicide, which is perpetrated against people on the basis of their sexual orientation, their gender identity, gender expression, and sex characteristics. Welcome to this special program. My name is Mosotho Stone, and I will be facilitating this discussion along with our guests tonight. But you are also welcome to join us tonight if you happen to have something to contribute to this program, either as part of the LGBTQI plus community or as a relative, as a friend of LGBTQI society as well, or as a supporter as well, because tonight we are going to be talking from all different angles to make sure that we cover as much as possible and try by all means not to just make it all about policy, try to make it all about what's written on paper. We would like to share experiences in terms of how do we ensure that we are able to accommodate each other in spaces that are able to enhance our human rights as people. Welcome to this very good program. And your line tonight is 0800-142-446. Una will write me that number, 065-935. I believe it's 5488. Yes, it's 065-935-5488. It's our WhatsApp number. WhatsApp where you can be able to contact us via voice notes, via text, and also you are able to talk to us live on a toll-free number if you're using a landline. It's 0800-142-446. And if you happen to be using a cell phone, do call us in and we will be able to call you back so that we give you a chance to contribute towards the program. And without any further ado, let me just introduce our guest tonight. Is only Mr. Tim Mogogole. Tim Mogogole is with the National Task Team, as I've already alluded that there is a National Task Team, but there's also a task team that is focused directly onto the province. So Tim Mogogole is part of the National Task Team, but he's also mainly focused with the Gauteng Provincial Task Team. Welcome, Tim, and thank you so very much. Am I right to say you are part of the National Task Team as well as the Provincial Task Team?
Yes, you are actually correct. And good evening, and thank you for just inviting me onto the show. And I hope I am loud and audible enough.
Very, very audible, and I'm getting excited that, you know, we're looking forward to your insightful discussion around the LGBTQI issues tonight. Unfortunately, we are not joined by Ms. Sina Pila, who is actually still the legal admin officer with the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. We could not. So it looks like, Tim, you're going to have to run with it. And where you're not sure about the departmental issues, we'll just leave it over there. But it makes me excited because it gives us a chance to actually look more into saying, we've been talking much about policies, about code of conduct, about constitution and all those kind of things. Give us a background in terms of where are we in terms of Gauteng and in terms of tolerance, human rights, because we hear a lot of media reports, we experience a lot of unbecoming behaviors, and we still have one of the best constitutions in the world. How far are we, according to you?
Look, I think, you know, like we're actually getting there, but, you know, we seem to be actually moving very slow because, you know, I think, you know, it's a case of, you know, education to, you know, our communities, especially in, you know, in Gauteng, because, you know, we have seen a migration of the LGBTI people moving from the provinces, coming to Gauteng and, you know, being, you know, feeling like, you know, they are free and they can express themselves however they want. But we need, you know, governmental, just to assist in making sure that the LGBTI people in Gauteng and other provinces are protected so that, you know, everyone can live, you know, freely, you know, based on the constitution that is protecting you and I and everyone.
All right. Now, in terms of the organizations, the stakeholders, as you're saying, that are working with you, I know that the Department of Justice is the leading department when it comes to this national task team. But you also have organizations, and particularly in Gauteng and the Western Cape, it's quite very active. Are you able to advise us for somebody who might be somewhere in Soweto or somewhere in the Eastern End, somewhere called Mamelodi or go Atteridgeville, are there organizations that they can align themselves with? Or even so, if they are able to individually be part of the activism without joining any organization, what can you tell us on that one?
Look, I always say that, you know, people in their community, they need to start their own organization. Because, you know, like, you know, for example, I'm based in between Pretoria and, you know, Johannesburg. Okay. But whenever I'm actually in Pretoria, I know that, you know, Access Chapter 2 is, you know, close by for me, as well as, you know, Out, you know, is close by for me. But, you know, when I'm in Joburg, you know, it's a distance for me. So I always say people must actually have their own organization, establish their own organization, you know, within, you know, their community, because we wouldn't know exactly what's happening within, you know, like your community, especially that, you know, the past years we experienced a lot of murdering of the LGBTI community in Soweto. So, you know, so people in Soweto, they need to have their own organization that is going to represent them, that is going to speak on their behalf.
But now, isn't it a risk, the fact that we might be working in silos in that matter, where we've heard about media reports where gay pride as a project, you know, some people felt excluded while they had registered organization and the leaders of gay pride and all that. I'm just making an example of one particular incident where working in silo risked organization standing its team and his people, and then it's Mosotho and his people. I mean, it's somebody else and his people. That in itself risking not being organized together.
Look, yes, you might be right there. However, that's the reason we've got the provincial task team.
Yes.
The provincial task team is to make sure that all these organizations that have been started by the community members in the community, they become part of the, you know, PTT. And, you know, also once you've actually started, you know, an organization, obviously you need to register with one of the, you know, Gauteng departmental, government, you know, departmental. And we will know about you that, you know, there's an organization that is existing in, you know, in Tsakane or in Davidton or in, you know, Olivenhoek or, you know, wherever in, you know, like Gauteng. You know? And then we will call you in for, you know, so that we can know what, you know, who you are, what you do, so that we avoid a duplication of, you know, having multiple organizations in, you know, in one area and doing, you know, the same thing. So it's best if somebody has actually, or he's thinking of starting organization, once you're in the process, please register with the government department so that we can find exactly, you know, what are your objectives? What are you trying to, you know, achieve with your, organization?
One of the comments that we had, Tim, during we've been running a series of LGBTQI plus programming with different provinces, and I believe Gauteng, this is the second program that we're running. Now, you are talking about establishing those organizations. I want to get into the gist of the matter where you might find that, you know, say in Katlehong, there's more gay persons and lesbian persons, and they decide to form an organization which does not necessarily accommodate, I would say, the first LGB in most cases, which happens to be the most popular amongst the LGBTQI community. Now you get the transgender, you get the queer, you get, you know, the intersex, and all the other categories that are not officially mentioned as we speak now, to a point where they get to be excluded in their communities simply because they do not fall within the LGB part of the description, and it leaves others from the society. What's your encouragement? Because obviously at some point, Tim, it's a face value kind of thing that we actually dealing with for most people. We cannot people take off their clothes. We want to see what's going on there and stuff so that we can categorize you into a right organization. How do we encourage people to embrace and not actually, because sometimes categorization, like I'm saying, just to say you're saying lesbian or you're saying gay, it sounds like you are actually excluding a queer person.
Look, I think, you know what, the easiest way, and, you know, I need to go back to, you know, your first question that you asked in terms of multiple, you know, organizations. You know, for example, Access Chapter 2, which is actually based in Pretoria, we know, you know, and also out, you know, their focus in it, you know, it's on the well-being of, you know, people around, you know, Pretoria.
Yes.
Even though, you know, they... you know, their organization actually spread into, you know, Hammanskraal, Harankua, Mabopane, and, you know, like Soshanguve. But what I actually like about, you know, Access Chapter 2 is the fact that they're encouraging people that are in, you know, Soshanguve, people that are in Hammanskraal, which they have their own, you know, like their own, you know, organization, people in Harankua, which is my hometown, you know, we should have our own, you know, organization. And those small organizations, they will work under Access Chapter 2.
Oh, so Tim. Go further.
So it is actually great, you know, for everyone in their own community just to align themselves with a bigger organization so that they can take them under their wing and, you know, and also make sure that, you know, everyone, you know, in the community, because, you know, as you said, we will find that, you know, maybe we've got more LGBTI, I mean, more lesbians or more gay in one, you know, like a community, and maybe few lesbians or bisexual. So if a bigger organization is actually helping the smaller, you know, like organization, they'll be able just to assist them to say, okay, we've got a small percentage of, you know, lesbian or a small percentage of, you know, another group. Take them in because you are one, you know, organization. We didn't want Timothy now to go and join another organization somewhere else. Meanwhile, you know, he could be right here at home and, you know, enjoying the presence of being in that, you know, organization and also the assistant, you know, in that, you know, like organization. So, you know, my advice, you know, to them, it's simply start your own organization at your, at, you know, where you reside, but make sure that you align yourself with bigger organizations so that they can help you.
Yeah. My last question in terms of membership, as we were dealing with belonging and all that stuff. Now, I don't have a word for people who are not LGBTQI community, because I'm not going to say normal people, because you also normal.
Yes.
Everybody else is normal. All right.
Yes.
But get it for my for the understanding I'm trying to say. Is an ordinary person, not that you are extraordinary or unordinary, is just the normal patriarchy people. I'll put it that way. bo mmele bo ntate nje who are just heterosexuals and they live in their own lives, they all good. Are they able to join you as supporters? And some of them might even have children, nephews and relatives that actually belong to the LGBTQ community, which happen to influence them to actually, you know, try to put support out there. Are they able to join you and how so? Because in most cases, there's one contributor who said, it is not so easy to join the organizations, even if you are not part of the LGBTQI society.
Oh, okay. I feel sad about that person that actually said that. Yeah. But one of our slogans says we are a family. And a family has multiple, you know, characteristics. You know, as a family, you find we've got multiple. So any person, you know, is welcome just to join our organization. And especially that, you know, most of them, they come to be empowered and to understand, you know, our life. Because I think a lot of them actually assume that we choose to be, you know, and we don't choose to be. So we welcome them just to come and join us and also just to educate, you know, to educate them about who we are and, you know, how we live our lives. Because there's a wrong perception about, you know, LGBTI people.
Yes.
And you know, once you actually educate people about who you are and your being, because I didn't choose to be, I am a being, I'm a human being.
Yes.
You know? So once you educate people about your being, that's when they become more relaxed and understand, you know, who you are and, you know, why you here in this world. So, you know, people are just, you know, welcome. Any organization that, you know, is not welcoming, you know, members that are not the LGBTI, you know, organization, well, tough luck. But, you know, because how are we going to fight, you know, the murdering of the LGBTI people if we don't welcome them? You know, I mean, we don't want to live in isolation, because isolation actually perpetuate, you know, hate, you know, perpetuate discrimination, you know, perpetuate a lot of things.
Depression, so, you know.
Exactly, you know. Yeah. So living in, you know, isolation is not our intention. Our intention is to make sure that, you know, everyone is welcome within the slogan, we are family. Just like, you know, us as South African, we said we are a rainbow nation. We are. I mean, we preach the rainbow flag as gay people. So everyone is welcome.
And the rainbow never gets short of one color in any particular time. And it's always a rainbow. 0800-142-446. Team, I'm very happy to announce that I'm joined by Ausina Pila, the legal admin officer. Because I did not actually want you to get into the departmental stuff, basically, because you'll be answering for other people that need to be here, actually. Ausina. Yeah. Welcome so very much, Rea Goleboga, for being available. We tried so hard and eventually we found you. Good evening, ma'am, and welcome.
Good evening to everyone, and how are you there?
We are very well. Tim, are you well?
Yes, I'm well, thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Ausina.
Hi, Tim. I could barely hear what you're saying. I wish I'd been able to start with the interview right from the beginning, but it's okay.
It's okay. We have been talking issues where Tim has been telling us about membership and joining and the support from the general South African society in terms of how do we accommodate each other. So basically, that's what we were talking about. But let me just go straight to you to say, educate us a little bit about the national intervention strategy. I've already alluded, UTIM has already alluded to various organizations that you work with. And also, it will be very interesting that you talk to us about the departments that you have galvanized to get into this activism with us to make sure that, you know, the LGBTQI community becomes part of the South African society and takes its rightful role as part of the contributors to the growth of South Africa. Let's talk about the national intervention strategy. Before we talk about all these administrative things, I would really like to ask you about.
Okay. Basically, the NIS, which is the National Intervention Strategy, it is the framework which incorporates the timeline. So it was drafted, and then inputs were sought from all over, including the CSOs, various departmental institutions
mm-hmm.
to come up with some ideas, you know, to give the input as to how would eventually want the NIS to look like. So at the time when it was drafted, everybody was invited, you know, to just to try and get some different ideas from all over.
Yeah.
So I would say it is a framework that guides people involved in the within the LGBTIQ plus community.
All right. I hope you did invite COSATU. I hope you did invite SACP or maybe. I'm just going to put that. They are ordinary South Africans who need to know about LGBTQI community. And I'm sure some of their members belong to the LGBTQI community. So relevance, I was talking to Tim about that to say relevance in terms of organizing yourselves. Because at the end of the day, you find that there's a gay pride, but gay pride is exclusive to a few people who are saying, this is our project, and these other ones, whether they organized or not, no, we're not going to put part of them. And at the end of the day, the very same people fight amongst themselves for recognition, and which is the same thing. It's like looking to say, my God is better than yours, but we're all looking at the same God. But anyway, the composition of the National Intervention Task Team, just tell us a bit about that. I know we did talk about the NGOs, the civil organizations with Tim, but tell us about the composition from the government point of view as a leader, as the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, leading this activism against intolerance and gender-based violence, looking into LGBTQI communities. Ausina? Tim, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right. I think, Gev, if you can help us get Ausina there, probably she might be having all those gremlins on her phone or something, but it's all good. But let's talk about the challenges. One of the challenges, Tim, mm-hmm. is that the forms within our government, I'm not going to talk about the private sector as yet, the forms, starting from Home Affairs, getting into Z83, getting into a form that we use to lay charges at a police station, just to name a few. Bro, we are talking about forms that would say male or female and other. And that in itself, I've seen how it discourages well-skilled people to join probably mm-hmm. government in mm-hmm. their own rightful spaces. Maybe somebody's a lawyer, somebody's a chemical engineer. But just for the fact that you are going to have to only choose between the two genders. You know, let's talk about that and see. That is a challenge where government needs to be working on those papers. But what is your perspective from your side?
Look, I think, you know, so first let's actually discuss the other, because I think we have fought very hard just to have that column that says other. Mm. But still, you know, other doesn't say anything.
It says nothing.
What does it actually, you know, mm. what it says absolutely nothing. And, you know, in our last, national task team meeting, we actually wanted a research which, you know, it was actually advised by, you know, the deputy minister that we need to do a thorough research in terms of how many LGBTI people are residing in our country.
Mm.
And I think maybe you have seen another organization, I think it was, you know, Aranti in
yes.
Cape Town, whereby during the, you know, the counting actually of, you know, a citizen in our country, they were saying that there is no representative of us in that form.
Mm.
So we are basically going back, you know, instead of going forward. And I thought by this time we wouldn't be actually discussing, you know, that column. It was supposed to say male, female, you know, a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, or plus. You know?
Mm.
And then on plus, then you add who you are exactly, because, you know, we have a lot of, you know, alphabet. So on plus, then you can express yourself, you know, who you are. So I you know, it upsets me that after so many years, we still have to talk about that column that, you know, I need to tick I'm male or I'm other. And I'm not other. I'm just Timothy, who's a human being and who's gay.
and who is very well skilled and looking for that particular career that has been advertised.
Exactly.
It must be put in there, Tim. Very, very important, because at the end of the day, you will be applying and looking for the same opportunity as anybody else.
Exactly. And, you know, this is what we're actually talking about. I mean, if you know, our government is actually supporting, you know, the LGBTI, who are these LGBTI that we're actually, you know, supporting? Because the last, you know, in our meeting, we were talking about, you know, housing. We need, you know, well-being. We, you know, there's, you know, we need, you know, job security of, you know, LGBTI. But also, you know, we don't want, you know, the government or, you know, or private sectors just to focus on employing LGBTI, because everybody's just talking about it. You know, employ people that have experience, that qualify to be in that position. And should you find an LGBTI person, embrace him for his sexuality or her sexuality.
I'm going to expose the 13 radio stations that are connected to us today, and I'm challenging them to say there is no way we can have an audience of 13 radio stations that cannot speak anything about LGBTQI at any given point. This is Capital Live in Pretoria. This is Commuter FM, still in Pretoria. Deep South, that is in Deep Sluit. East Wave in the East Rand, EKFM in the East Rand, Ekuruleni in the East Rand, Eldos is in Eldorado Park, Lekwa is down in Vereeniging, Pele is right down here in Atteridgeville, Sidibeng FM, I'm not sure, Sidibeng is somewhere in the Vaal, I know that, along with Vaal FM, Westside is over in the Krugersdorp area, and Westbury is just somewhere where it used to be. In Cape Town, it used to be District 6. I'm not sure down here. Sophia Town, yes. That's the place over there. So in all these 13 radio stations, I'm inviting all of you listening. You might be having a nephew. You might be having a cousin. And probably it's your kid and growing. Just being bullied at school simply because kids are brutally honest. They might be like, according to how they were taught, where now you behave a bit funny. You know, I always say a little mouse does not know that it's a mouse and runs a risk of playing with a snake just because it sees two living things. And up until the little snake realizes from the adult snake that this is food, then everything is hunky-dory. But otherwise... Welcome, Alcina, and I hope you have good network, and probably you are under a very good high building, because I believe in Gauteng maybe there isn't too many trees that you can get on top of. But yeah, welcome so much. We were talking about the forms, Alcina, in terms of Department of Home Affairs, and Tim did speak a lot up from his side, which I think he represents quite a lot of... opinion to say it's still quite very irking for the LGBTQI community to actually find themselves having to reluctantly choose between male and female and other. While there's a very big space, I know I've seen these forms before. I'm employed here because I've filled that form, you know, and it's got big spaces where you can put M, F, L, G, B, T, I, Q, and plus. But here we are having a Home Affairs that does not have recognition in terms of administration of doing that. And here we are having hospitals that are still having two categories and not even giving the parents an option outside of the two. Where you find yourself, Tim now has to have a beef with the parents to say, but you could have chosen this, you could have chosen that. And now it's Tim's responsibility in this day and age to actually fight for what the parents could have fought for long back. Why are we not changing our forms? Alcina?
Yeah. Hello? Yeah, I'm listening.
Yes.
I think with regards to the forms, from my side, I wouldn't say there's, the forms are too complicated. There's actually a need for our officials in those institutions to go back and educate. And you see, with the department, we have two task teams. We've got the national task team and also the rapid response. In the national task team, It's actually a composition of various government departments where we all come together, you know, stating and also elaborating the challenges that our LGBTIQ plus community members face from time to time. So the issue of the forms, it was raised previously. So I think we still need to go out there and have quite a number of public awareness campaigns, you know, educate even our officials at the Labor Department, Home Affairs Department of, you know, even with us as Justice Department, we have a role to educate everyone from the cleaner up until the highest principal. Yeah, because if the forms still reflect two sexes or two genders, it becomes, it limits or it prejudices the other parties to have, you know, an opportunity to tick or mark in the appropriate boxes. So I think the awareness campaigns, the outreach programs and the training are very much imperative.
All right. 0800-142-446 tonight. I am joined in a discussion to discuss the understanding of sexual orientation, gender identity, expression, as well as sex characteristics. I am joined by Sina Pila, who is the legal admin officer within the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, looking into the Gauteng Regional Office. And Tim Mokgokgole is part of the National Task Team member, and also the provincial testing number. And he just alluded that he's actually staying in Garankuwa, where I happen to stay myself. So, yeah, it's all good. We will definitely make sure that the Garankuwa people are very, very active indeed. And, Tim, you just exposed yourself quite very well, which I hope you are going to follow up on that one. Our main aim today...
Well, I was just about to say, you know, you've mentioned all the community radio stations, and I'm surprised you did not mention Garankuwa FM, which I helped them to establish, by the way.
I know, along you and Joe, actually. Basically, it's just a matter of processes, just like we're talking about processes right now. Garankuwa FM needs to follow up some few processes. And definitely the Garankuwa people should be actually calling at this point in time. And Gavin, you're listening very well. Gavin is the representative for Gauteng Radio Station, so he's actually listening. And we will need to introduce the new member on the block, GFM. And to highlight departmental's efforts, that's what we're doing. And Tim Mokgokgole is with us. Sina Pila is with us. And we just need your voice on 0800-142-446. That is a toll-free number to dial. However, 065-935-5488. Now, one of the things, Tim, is the expression into the societal matters. The society, you know, to be part of the church as Lindodana or as whatever that the church is. Now, I'm going to ask Ausi Nahore, what is the country's standpoint in terms of legalizing same-sex marriages, homosexual marriages, LGBTQI marriages in general, let me put it that way? What is the stance of our country?
Well, it's still a battle. There's still some challenges that our members, when I say our members, I'm referring basically to the LGBTIQ plus
yes,
members.
Yes, yes, yes.
And because during these task team forum meetings, we still, you know, receive quite a number of complaints that our members are faced with on a daily basis. There are those Home Affairs members. Remember, there is a separation of powers. When it comes to marriage registration, it's purely the work or the role, the responsibility of the Department of Home Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to legalizing still, you know, for one to have the marriage declared legalized,
yes,
you need to have the marriage certificate, the marriage certificate, and by having a marriage certificate, it purely means that your marriage has been duly registered in their system.
Mm.
So now, well, when unfortunately, when they go to some of the Home Affairs offices, you still find that the officials are not so much knowledgeable. They give mm-hmm. them the runaround. Either the systems are not down, or maybe they don't even know actually how to approach the registration. They don't know how to go about in assisting the LGBTIQ plus members.
Mm. Excuses. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm.
And
Tim.
It marginalizes other people, you know, mm. despite what our constitution is very clear. Section 9 of the Constitution, equality, everyone must be equal before the law, and it means that everyone must be equal, must be treated to equality without being discriminated against.
Mm-hmm.
So if you still experience discrimination wherever you go, clearly it means that there's still quite a number of ways that one needs to, you know, to consider doing.
Yeah. And in consulting with, let's say, the priests as some of the leadership in our society that have been entrusted with marrying people along with Home Affairs. At Home Affairs, Otokra Mewa Siaparo, you know, who believes religiously that, you know, at church, they don't recognize Tim. But now Tim mm-hmm. goes to Home mm-hmm. Affairs and melts into, you know, the emblem. Some of the, we see people with emblems and stuff. For an example, I'm not saying ZCC is doing that, by the way, but Kim Mwamuzete is working for Home Affairs, and maybe the organization, which is the church, which she believes so much through religious and spiritual balance, to say she is the, what do they call it? Marriage conveners or something like that. Yeah. Now, they are faced with a dilemma of having to go against their religion to accommodate Tim. How does that work?
Look, you know, from the Christian point of view, I would say that it should not even be so much of a difficulty when a Christian official is faced with a situation like that. In fact, as a Christian, that should not even be a challenge for you, because Christian, you cannot be say that as a Christian, God has created all of us with the same image. If we are saying with the same image, then it means that we are all the same, you know. Mm. But then when it comes to work, when a person approaches you at work, being coming from an LGBTIQ plus community, and then you start treating them differently, whereas as a Christian, it shouldn't have been that much of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree. There's quite a number of certain denominations that do not recognize LGBTIQ plus. For them, they think that it is it's something which is antichrist.
Yes, you know? Yes.
But what amazes me is that they perceive it as something which is not of God. But at the same time, if I go to a church with my millions, my opulence, it would not be questioned. Just because I'll be contributing a large sum of money to the church, I'll be doing some changes in the church. So it should not be, you know, as Christians, don't accept me purely because I have something large to contribute to the church. Accept me as I am, you know. Don't accept me because there are conditions.
You
shouldn't be like that.
I am so definitely.
Similarly, when you go to the department of whatever department, you know, when you go, Hispanic is panito.
Yeah, can
it? And similarly, when you go to go the other departments, like such as department of, when a person goes to have an abortion done, conducted, performed,
yes.
there'll be other officials saying that no, it is against my religion to perform an abortion.
Indeed.
Your contract of employment is very clear. It stipulates that, among other things that you'll be doing, is to perform this kind of thing, you know?
Mm.
So, yeah.
I'm definitely sure that particular church that found itself in the media for treating Somizi bad. I'm sure you remember that story quite very well.
I'm sure
right now it regrets big time, only on the basis of money, as you're saying, Osina. You know, money can do wonders. Money can make people become slaves to things that they don't believe in.
Yeah.
But, Tim, you can get in there. I hear what she said, something.
You know, Alcicina was actually saying, you know, regarding, you know, people that conduct, you know, marriages, you know. I think, you know, as a Christian, people must learn that, you know, to practice their Christianity at church and not to practice it where they work. Because, you know, if they continue practicing that to where they work, that's when we're going to have the anti, you know, people that do not want to conduct, you know, a marriage of same-sex people. So we need to let people understand or know that, you know, whatever that you do at church, stay at church. The same thing as you do in your bedroom, it stays in your bedroom.
Mm.
You don't come and, you know, and preach, you know, what you do in your in your bedroom. So whatever that you guys do, if you are anti, you know, gay at your church, let it remain at your church. And if you feel very uncomfortable in conducting, you know, a marriage ceremony between same-sex marriage, then ask to be excused. And I'm definitely for sure, you know, whatever line manager or your boss, we will, you know, allow you to be excused.
Mm. But Tim, what is currently your standing in terms of LGBTQI marriages? Because I would like to believe it's an old concept of being a human being. I don't know, my English might be failing me when I say concept, but it's not a concept. People have been living like this for years, right? And they would have liked to be married.
Look, I think, you know, like marriage is just, you know, an official way of saying I am married to this person. You know, and you know, as you said, I've actually posted something on my Facebook page.
Mm.
This, you know, these two couples have been living together for number of years.
Mm.
Just only now they just, you know, decided, you know, just to get married.
Mm.
But you know, marriage is just an official way of saying I am married to this person of the same sex with me, and this is the person that will make a decision about my life when I'm gone, or I will make a decision about his life when he's gone. So it's just an official way to say, guys, it's me and this person, and we are bound to live together. I think also, you know, what people actually define marriage is an extension of the, you know, there's an expectation that, you know, if I'm married to a woman, then the woman must, you know, produce kids.
Makodi,
exactly. You know, so the woman must just, you know, bring kids. But if a guy is married to a guy, there is no, you know, they can't actually produce, you know, kids. There's no, you know, what's the word? Reproduction.
Reproduction. Right? Yes.
Yes. You know, so there's no reproduction, and you know that's where we actually, you know, getting it wrong, because marriage doesn't mean reproduction. Marriage means that I can live with you. We are partners in this thing. Whether we decide to have kids, it's up to two people, or whether they don't want to have kids, it's just up to them. I mean, we've got so many marriages that are happening right now that Makoti doesn't have kids, or the guy doesn't want kids.
Mm. Yeah?
Mm. So we need to define, you know, like marriage. Like, it's a topic that we need to have and define marriage. You know, is marriage based on reproduction, or is marriage based on us being together and then later on decide we want to have an extension? If we don't want to have an extension, then, you know, let's just be only the two of us.
All right. 0800-142-446. I'm having quite a very disappointed day with Gauteng today, because it looks like we're speaking amongst the three of us. And we have radio stations that boast so much audience. And their audience, I'm not sure if they are all about making dedication lines or actually addressing important issues like this. Because at the end of the day, Tim is not only the person who exists here as if like he's an organization. I could tell you a lot of organizations. He just mentioned chapter 2. But I could mention a whole lot all over Gauteng. And to my surprise, I wonder which radio stations they listen to, or if they're just listening and that old tradition of saying silence means consent. I'm not sure if it really works in 2022. But anyway, Let's talk about gender-based violence against children and women. You know, this topic is something that has been going, and the levels of tolerance towards the LGBTQI community continue to slowly rise. You know, South Africa's economic hub, Gauteng, with slightly fewer residents approving of violence against lesbian and gay people, probably by talking or by contributing. We thank all those people who are in our communities. They're protecting the community at large, and not only just looking. But now, gender-based violence, looking into schools, Osina and team, you know, bullying is rife. And I would like to believe that some of the bullying components come out of being what I would call to those kids who do not understand without education or information. They would be brutally honest to a kid who looks like something that they see with their eye but does not behave according to what they expect. Now, Department of Basic Education has all these curriculums, life orientation, yonke into, you know? And we find ourselves still having poor kids being bullied, either for being part of the LGBTQI community, something that he does not choose to do, but something that he found himself having faith with. So now, how are we dealing with schools? I'm going to ask both of you, and maybe start with Tim, as somebody who can just tell us a bit about the experiences of our basic education, where primary education is not only to teach people subjects, but discipline of life.
Look, I think you know, Exodus, you know, like chapter 2 is busy in making sure that, you know, there's an inclusion of, you know, LGBTI, you know, persons in the curriculum, because I think also bullying happens because of curiosity, and you know, it has happened also to me, because you know, there's you know, when you go to school and people start to call you names, and there was that name that I personally hated, because there was an assumption that I have two, you know, sexual, you know, or, you know, organs. Mm. And, you know, kids that actually bullied me, they wanted to see if I have two. It's not that they were intentionally wanted to bully me, but they wanted to see if it's that, you know, I have two things, and which is, you know, it wasn't the case. But now that, you know, like Exodus chapter 2 is trying to make sure that our Department of Education have you know, a section on health, you know, a subject where they're going to educate, you know, children about LGBTI, you know, like issues. And, you know, also for me, you know, I'm grateful because my younger cousin actually helped my parents to understand my sexuality, So our township schools are not advanced as, like, you know, Model C school or, you know, schools that are, you know, in town, because they are way advanced. They talk about everything. Our schools, our teachers, they're afraid just to talk about such things.
0800-142-446. Let's talk about it from the Department of Basic Education point of view, and as a leader of the departmental connection, how far are you in terms of taking out the activism to schools, either the integration of some sort of life orientation subject or something, the same way we biology has that particular thing that says this is a man, this is a lady, and the lady looks like this. I mean, if biology can do that, I'm sure we could find a way of integrating the understanding of the LGBTQI society through education, isn't it?
Yeah, you see, from our side, as the Department of Justice, we come together. We sort of have meetings with the Department of Education. Very soon in March, in May, the coming May, we'll be having what we call the Child Protection Week. That's the time where we reach out to to different schools. Mm. And when it comes to bullying, is one of the main subjects that we always, you know, make sure that we preach on it, we educate these learners. And, you know, if you look at bullying very deeper, you realize that a child will become a bully precisely because of the background where he or she originates. It could also be perpetuated by the fact that the child is ignorant, lacks the knowledge, and if bullying is not treated at the primary stage, it builds up until, you know, it gets to a stage where it cannot be controlled. So I would also like to plead to the educators. When a child starts bullying, it's not all the educators that are trained to deal with a child who has become a bully. There are people, there are professionals who have been trained, you know, immensely on, you know, in terms of dealing with such children's behavior, children's the pattern on the child. So if that is not being reported, because at first the child would start by swearing and beating other learners, and only to find that it's not being reported. Every matter should be reported. There are certain children, learners, who commit serious crimes, such as they go to an extent of even committing rape. Others they even commit murder. And some of the school, they would want to mediate. You don't mediate on such a serious matter, because this child would become something else. But then if there is an intervention of other professionals who have been fully trained on how to deal with such behaviors, it can actually help the child to rehabilitate. So it's very important that cases have been reported. And remember, even, you know, some of the victims of sexual offences, gender-based, it's children as young as 10 years, 8 years.
Yes.
And, you know, some are even committed by adults. I'm glad that, you know, as a department, we have the National Register for Sexual Offenders. You know, if a person commits such kind of an offence, the name is put on the register. Just to frustrate that person, you know, wherever a person goes, it's known that this person is not fit and proper to work in an environment where the children or people with mental disability are.
So, South Africa,
it's very serious.
It is going to be a long, 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 long. Unless it could be short, if all the brains that we are... I mean, I'm listening to you and Team Osina, and I'm like, if everybody could be thinking like this, what would be so hard to change? The only thing that we might be having hard to change will be our own attitudes towards tolerating each other. Well, I mean, there are... people who actually think feminists are weird, who think, you know, somebody who's disabled is weird, you know, and that's why I'm saying we got a lot to go. But let's talk about looking into one of the most progressive integration and inclusion of the LGBTQI community. You know, the traditional healing community, it is quite very out there. I don't know, Tim, if you'll agree with me on this one. My research says to me the traditional healers have accommodated quite a lot of LGB. We don't know about the T, Q, and the others. But my observation is that, you know, there's quite a lot of gay members of the society who are actually very supportive to Bo Gobela, you know, to Bo Ngaka, and all that. How did that come to that point, and we end up having challenges with religion, particularly Muslim and Christianity and all that kind of stuff? And I would really like to commend our traditional healers for actually embracing without having a big topic as we are doing today.
Look, I think it's actually because of, you know, they live among the community, and you'll find that, you know, one of the members is, you know, or was, and it's easy for them just to accept the next person, you know, sexuality. You know, unlike, you know, going to church, a church is actually ruled, it's not ruled by a pastor, but it's actually ruled by a Bible that, you know, somehow it actually, it's, in fact, let me put it this way. It's ruled by the church, but it doesn't practice, you know, hate. We seem to assume that the Bible actually seems to, you know, preach hate. Mm. And it's not actually preaching hate.
Even to a point of people using Amma verses to actually validate their own opinions.
Yes, and you know, if we can look at the Bible and some of the verses, you'll find that, you know, there's a lot of people that have said being gay is wrong. We can even turn around and say, but you are doing, you know, some of the things that the Bible should not do.
Mm.
Yeah. So, I mean, the typical example, somebody can say to me, I'm gay and, you know, I shouldn't be actually sleeping with, you know, another man. Meanwhile, the Bible says on Sunday you need to rest. Then why are we going to church?
You're
supposed to rest.
And for some reason, I would also highlight that there have been media reports over the years where some of the church leaders, as in priests, as in like deacons and everything, were allegedly accused of molesting boys and all that stuff. Something that has been swept under the carpet for quite a very long time, and it goes along with this topic, actually. And we need to actually be unearthing such kind of behavior where the very priest who preaches the intolerance of the LGBTQI community is actually the one who's involved in actually child molestation and all those kind of things. And that's where I'm saying, Osina, I deliberately asked Tim about the traditional process where, you know, accommodating and to a point where even the clients don't even think twice. These very clients who will look at Tim in a different eye while they're meeting him on the street, they go to the same traditional doctor who is using the services of the gay and lesbian people to actually try to heal him, and they don't say anything. But now it comes to a point where Cocta, I would like to see if Cocta is a member of the task team or the stakeholders that are actually working with you, so that you are able to reach out to traditional leadership and to even enhance the tolerance and the integration of our LGBTQI community within the South African society. Is Cocta recognized or playing any role in that regard?
Cocta is definitely part of the entity. It is also forms part of the entity sitting. They have a role in the entity.
Okay, but what is their role in terms of your experience, in terms of including Mahosi Arona Osina, where the traditional tribal authorities are actually in recognition, as I've already alluded that, you know, the traditional healership is actually one of the biggest embracers of the LGBTQI community in our country. All right. I believe it's not you, Tim, who's gone, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes no, the questions can be a bit difficult, but it's okay.
But, you know, just to make us laugh, I think, well, I saw something the other, well, some years ago that actually said that, you know, traditional healers believe that we gay people have different powers.
Yes.
So I guess that's the reason people actually go to traditional doctors, because they think we've got some superpowers, and we don't. We're just a human being like you and
exactly.
I.
Exactly. You know? You remind me of a program I've seen on TV with Ntato Mongo Nanle, quite a number of partners.
I think I saw the program.
Yes. Actually, when you said that, he just came to my mind, actually, to say, how on earth do you think like that? It's quite very ignorant, but yeah.
but anyway, you know, we live in South Africa, and we can have as many partners as we want, and which is, you know, acceptable, and, you know, it is embraced, and, you know, we should actually embrace him and, you know, welcome him. But I'm glad that you're also telling people that, you know, there's, you know, from LGBT, you know, QI, there's also him who's actually bisexual, you know, that falls in love with a man as well as with a woman.
Of course. At 4 minutes past seven, Tim, thank you so much for this insightful discussion. I actually feel that, you know, we are getting somewhere with talks like this. And I'm going to just give you a 1 minute last word in terms of anything that you feel like we might not have touched on, or you might want to emphasize on.
Okay, for me, I would like to emphasize on just, you know, a few things, especially to the government people that are actually listening. Health issues. Well-being of the LGBTI people. we need a service and we need their support. You know, the dialogues, you know, that needs to happen in our communities so that we can, you know, let our communities know about us, you know, and also housing and job security. Something that, you know, we need to, you know, talk about within, you know, our community and with the government, you know, department for LGBTI people. And please do not treat us special. We are not special. We are just human beings like you, but we prefer something else.
And if you are skilled in your own way, you are very skilled, and that has nothing to do with your gender description.
Exactly.
Muranaka, I thank you so very much. I don't know how much to thank you, and the LGBTQI activists around the province who are working tirelessly day and night to make sure that Mosotho Stone and team are just human beings who are not going to be categorized in certain ways of coining our own lives.
No problem. Have a good one, sir.
Thank you so much. And this has been a special broadcast. There we have it. We have come to the end of the show, and we hope that you really enjoyed the conversations. More so, you are well informed and a bit more tolerant because you're looking at your kid sitting across the table over there and say, now I understand you better. For more assistance, you can visit the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development website on www.justice.gov.za. Otherwise, you can also follow them on their Facebook page as well as Twitter page, just to keep the conversations going. That in itself should be able to guarantee you to be a more liberated person as a human being living with other human beings. From me, Mosotho Stone, thank you so very much, and thank you to Gavin Sadler and as well as Unali Namhlongo for a brilliant program tonight. Thank you so much, and good night.